Here. Let's start off with a word of prayer, first of all. Father, we thank you for that day, now that you've given to us, and for everything that you bestow upon us and how you teach us and guide us and direct us. We thank you, Father, for allowing everybody to be here today, and each person, Father, that's represented here, Father, that you've given them the breath of life that they could just be here today. And we praise and thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your grace, and for just all your mercies that you have with us and how you put up with us, and yet that love that you have for us is just beyond our recognition, Father, how you do love us and take care of us. We thank you for it. We ask for your help here today. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your direction. We need you here, Father, today. We ask your Holy Spirit would just enlighten us and teach us the things that we need to be taught here, Lord, and guide us and direct us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you put your brother's hand in warm water, he will wet the bed. Always keep that in mind. Don't try that or anything like that. But we've been going over, we started going over children. We're talking about the family, we're going over the children part of it right now. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And we went over and tried to explain some of these things here about the behavior of a child, the behavior problem itself, and the heart determines behavior. The heart issue that needs to be challenged there instead of the behavior problem. You get the heart issue straightened out, the behavior problem is going to come. The behavior a person exhibits is an expression of the overflow of the heart. We had gone over those kind of things there, and we see some different aspects of behavior and how children themselves, if you sit back and look at it, after you cooled down and that some of the things that they have done already, you know, that you've seen them do, you'll see that it's the heart that determines this behavior, you know, and it's the heart that we have to work on. What you say and do expresses the orientation of your heart. That's the same way with you today, all of us older people and stuff, you know. What we say and do, that does come out and express the heart. That brings us out. And you know, it's the same way with bringing up the children. We got to get their heart changed. I'm going to go to some verses here in a bit, and point some of these things out here to you and show you. So what your children say and do is a reflection of what is in their hearts. Parents often get sidetracked between with the behavior, and if your goal in discipline is good behavior, I mean, that makes sense. You know, you think about it, that makes sense. That you want good behavior, but that's not the issue. It's very easy to understand this, but this thing alerts you to your child's correction. You know, you want them to have good behavior, but you say, what's this problem? What is the problem here in this whole situation? You know, if you sit back and think about it a little bit, you know, you wonder what this problem is, and your child's needs are far more profound than his behavior. That's the whole thing in it. You know, there's needs there, and we overlook this as parents as we bring up our children. If you want to help them, you must be concerned about the attitudes of the heart. You've got to check the attitudes of the heart out for these people or for your children. If you want to help them, that's what'll help them out. A change behavior that does not stem from a changed heart is not commendable, it's condemnable. Their heart needs to change. Their heart needs to change in the behavior problems and in all the many aspects of it. Go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 here, Jesus points out some things. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Then came Jesus to the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why?" Now, you see here, he's saying here, these scribes come to him, and they're asking him a question. He says, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Well, here they're saying it's a tradition that they do. Now, definitely, how many of you, before a meal, you tell your kids, "Go wash your hands. Get your hands clean," you know. Because a lot of them, they've been either out in the mud. Corb's kids are out in the chicken house or out in the barn, you know, and things like that there. And they need to, you know, they need to wash their hands. And there's nothing the matter with that. Nothing the matter with that at all. And they're asking him this question. But Jesus answered them by asking them a question. He says, "But he answered and said unto them," verse 3, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commandeth, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me." Now, what's going on here is there was a law. It was called the Law of Corban. And what it was you made a vow that you would take your monies and you would give it to the temple of God, you know, for his work and stuff. But when it come to the neglection of your parents, they were doing this. They were giving their money. They were following this law. They made that law, that vow. And just Jesus is now is bouncing them about that. He's saying, you know, why do you do this? And you neglect your parents when your parents need money. You need to help them. And that should be the first thing that you should do. And that's what he's telling them here. That's what he's saying here. Honor thy father and thy mother. Parents, you need to teach your children to honor you. Remember, we talked about that a little bit, about authority and things like that there. They need to honor you. And Jesus here is saying that they are supposed to honor their parents. You know, they are to honor their parents. Oh, look at the Amish around here. You think about it. You see a lot of them build pieces onto their houses for their parents. They take care of their parents. You know, that's something that they do. Somebody taught them that. You know, that just wasn't a thing that they just came up with. Somebody taught them that. You know, and even though that they have their downfalls, I mean, that's a good thing that they do. They do take care of their parents. So, you know, but he's telling them here that they should take care of their parents. But he said in verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Elias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men." So he's saying here, you know, that they were hypocrites because it was prophesied by Isaiah, and it's Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Let me go back and read that to you. Listen to what he says here. And it's the same words that Jesus said. Jesus was just was adding to this here a little bit. Isaiah 29, 13, he said, "Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and they and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Now he's saying, you know, that they look good on the outside, but what's inside? There's many churches today that there's people sitting in the church pews. They look good. You'd say, wow, that's a good Christian. But what's in their heart? What is in their heart? Do they want anything to do with God? Or is it just a tradition that we go to church on Sunday morning? Some traditions are fine. Jesus was saying here, you know, this was a tradition. Some traditions are fine. Can you think of any traditions that our church here has that's good? I thought of one this morning already, sitting right there. Now, yes, churches have your Lord's Supper at different times. Sometimes they have it once a month. Sometimes they have it, I think we have ours every quarter or something like that there. But it's a good thing. It's a remembrance. It's for you to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what he went through. Good tradition. But, you know, but some of these traditions, Jesus is saying, you know, that they're just, you know, it's just a tradition, something that they do, and that's it. And he says, these people that draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, their heart is far from me. You know, they look good on the outside, but on the inside, they don't want nothing to do with them. You know, and in verse 9 there, he says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. You can they were studying, you know, their laws and things like that there, but they didn't know God. You can study your Bible all you want to, but if you don't know God, it's worthless. You need to know God. You need to let God work in you when you study his word. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 10, he says, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear ye and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. It's what a man says and thinks is what defiles a man. It's not what goes in the mouth. You know, you can eat groundhog if you want to. You can eat. You know, we used to have, I went to a church where they had, you know, the missionaries come in and they had these different things, you know, for foods. And somebody brought groundhog in there and there was people eating it and they didn't even know it. I didn't eat nothing, so I stayed away from it. But anyhow, you could eat groundhog if you want to. You can eat oysters and you can eat some of this seafood stuff. And I know some of you love it. You can eat it. You can have it, you know. But that don't defile you that goes into you. You know, you can eat whatever you want to. That's not going to defile you, he says. But he says, what comes out of you, that's what defiles you. What you say and think is what defiles you. That's what when it comes out of a man, you know. That, and that's what he's telling them here. He says, that's what defiles you. So, and he goes in verse 12 here, then he says, then came the disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended, and after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my Father hath not, which my heavenly Father hath not, planteth, and shall be rooted up. Now, he says, let them alone. He's telling his disciples that's with him here, he says, let these guys alone. Let these Pharisees alone, you know. They that be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So the blind leading the blind here, he says, don't worry about it. You know, that's what they're going to do. Let them alone. You know, let them teach these things if they want to. But he says, let the blind. But he says, then Peter answered and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also without understanding? Peter, he said, don't you understand? Peter learned his lesson, you know. Peter was following the law. Back in Acts chapter 10, Peter learns his lesson. The Jews, they weren't allowed to eat certain meats. They weren't allowed to eat certain things. Pig and things like that there. Pig and stuff like you eat today. But that was all cleaned. Peter seen that. You know, that's when the sheep came down over him. And he seen all these animals. And they were clean. They could eat them, you know. But he was teaching beforehand. You know, he was teaching beforehand that this stuff was unclean. And Peter, he's saying, don't you understand? You know, are you without understanding? And he, like I say, he learned his lesson. He says, do ye not understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh from the heart, and they defile a man. That old saying, think before you speak. You know, think before you speak. That comes out of the heart, that's what defiles a man. He says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man, but to eat that with unwashing hands defileth not a man. He answered his own their question right there. You know, he says, you know, it's these other things that comes from the heart. You can take and wash your cup, and it's clean on the outside, but if you don't wash it on the inside, it's dirty. My wife tells me the story when she was a little girl. Her dad taught her the very simple thing. When you do the dishes, you better do it right. Because he would take her, and if he found a dirty dish, she had to pull all the dishes out of the cupboard and do them all. He taught her, but he taught her a lesson. When she washes the outside of the cup, she also washes the inside of the cup, you see. So, you know, that's that. If you don't only wash the outside of the cup, that's dirty. You know, that's, but what's on the inside? Like I said, you can look good here today. You can look very good, you know, on the outside. But what's on the inside? What's in the heart? What's in your heart? That's what Jesus here was trying to tell these people, you see. And the same thing happens when we get into correcting children, you see. We correct them, and then it looks good on the outside, but what happens? What happens on the inside? How many of you younger ones with your children, you correct them for one problem, but it seems like you got to correct them again for the same problem, and again for the same problem, and again for the same problem. Oh, it looked good on the outside the first time, didn't it? You know, but what happened? You know, what happened? You see. So, Jesus here, you know, he demands this change in behavior. We need to do this change in behavior, but we got to hit the heart of the problem. And that's the heart itself that has to be changed. Questions or comments so far? Go ahead. Anybody want to answer that for her? You older ones that has raised your children already? So I told you this is all about. Go ahead, Pastor.
It's the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But the problem is in the heart. And we're working to change that. Number one, that child has to be willing to change. And it is a process. And the thing that we need to do as parents is to not give up. It's not going to, you know, there's going to be times of reverting back again and so forth. And sometimes a child makes the choice when they get older, I'm done. You know. But we just have the responsibility to keep working at it and leave it up to God. And again, I bring you back to the father. That father did all he did, and then he turned the child over to God, and God took it from there, and finally brought him back.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about last week, you know, being consistent. You just got to keep after it, keep after it. I know sometimes you want to pull your hair out of your head, you know. One of the things was the questions. By the way, I'm working your questions in here in your these lessons, so get ready, okay? Those of you who I have asked that you younger ones, your questions. One of them was, I can think about a situation where a child that they and I'm not bringing out you guys' names or anything. You know, that's not important. It was your questions to me that was important. You know. But one of the things I just read them over this morning a little bit, and one of them was about a child that kept, you know, they're being taught, you're not supposed to go and keep opening the refrigerator door and getting stuff. There, you know, it was a thing that they wanted, you know, to do something about it, a response. But they would correct the child would go back and open the refrigerator. Correct the child would go back and open the refrigerator. Child will go back. Sooner or later, they're going to get the idea and the hint. If you be consistent with your corrections and things like that there, they're going to get the hint, hey, I'm not supposed to do this. I go back to the same thing as you tell a child, you know, when they're growing up, you come to a hot stove. Don't touch that. It's hot. I said, don't touch it, it's hot. And they keep going. Don't touch it, it's hot. Well, they have to learn sometimes by themselves. When they touch it and get burnt, you try to show them that, you know, it's hot. Don't touch it. You're going to get burnt. You know the consequences. They don't know the consequences. But now they know the consequences because they learned that baby's hot, you know, and I'm going to stay away from it. And they will learn the consequences after a while. Your hand's going to go up. Go ahead.
I think I understand Jennifer's question. And I think each kid requires something different. Some kids, you look at them, that's all you got to do. They know. They stop. They go off to something different. Other kids, they don't. So I think the type of discipline has to be to the depth of what the kid has to have to understand that you mean business. And if you do that consistently, once you, I'm not saying use a ball bat, but some kids require physical intervention to get their attention. And if they know that's going to happen every time they do whatever they're doing, pretty soon they realize, or should realize, it isn't worth it. I'm getting hurt every time I do this. Maybe I should just not do this anymore. But, like I say, some kids you can look at them, some you can just simply scold them and tell them, and that's enough. Others, you have to go a lot further, and the Board of Education probably would be.
I go back to the same thing. You heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. My wife, you know, she took care of the kids, and she, if it was time to give them, if it was a licking that they had to have, they got the licking. That's the way it is. That's the way I brought my kids up. I know today you got to be very careful with all that stuff, but they got a licking. Well, one day she had to take care of the two younger ones, and she hears Nathan going down the steps to the cellar with his sister. Mom's lickings don't hurt anymore. Mother heard that. Mother said, come on back up here. You know what he did? He learned, he didn't say that anymore after that. You see? So, yeah, after a while, like I say, after a while, it's got to sink in. You know, there is some very hard-headed, self-willed children. Yes, I agree. But you got to keep after it, keep after it, keep after it. It's surprising how, I'm not saying all of them, but some of them do change after you're consistent, the consistency of it. Nance?
Jen, when you were asking your question, part of it because of other people. Mm-hmm. I experienced that with my oldest child when he was probably 1 to 2 years old in the nursery and he bit another child. I got reamed out by the father of that child with his bits. Like, I could do anything when I wasn't there to do anything about it, you know, but I was told what I needed to be doing. And so you are going to face that, where other people, you know, they're very protective of their children in that case, so they're going to, you know, maybe say cool things, but there's times when people will see your child do something wrong and they really don't know what you're doing at home and how you're trying to teach that child. And when they're strong-willed and it takes time to accomplish that, there's just so many things that are said.
Well, it's you know, yeah, and people like that that you're saying, you know, this mother knows the heart of that child. Those people don't. You see, and they're easy. It's easy for them to come to you and tell you, you know, well, your child does this, but how does their child act? You know, do they? Is it okay if their child would have bit her child? You know, then it would probably been okay. But it was vice versa there. And, you know, you see that that happens a lot, even in Christian society, too. No good. I seen a hand. Go ahead.
As a mother, one thing that God has given your children to raise is not easy. And each child is so different. So even like as they grow, their love language changes. You have to adapt to each one. But something more important is God has given them a will, a free will. And even though we do exactly what we need to do, training them up, there's sometimes heartache. Because, and it's not that you're doing anything wrong, it could be that God has given them that free will. And unfortunately, we can do all that we can do to train up that child, but it doesn't mean that we may not lose them, or some situations may happen that they have to travel a hard road until they learn, you know what I'm saying? And it's tough for us as parents to see that, but understanding that we have to remember that even though God has trusted them in our care, they still have that free will. And they will make choices, and we do our best.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
But also, with the one part with other people saying things to you as a parent, it's a fine line because we're looking for advice at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, please give us some advice.
That's right.
But then on our flip side, then we can't sit there and say, well, how are they going to tell us what to do? You know, we have to be able to give and receive advice from others. And some of these people, they have experience. They've raised their children. So we need to be listening and stuff. Now, one of the things, and I'll say this and get myself in trouble because my mother-in-law's not here right now, but as we were raising our kids, they were much smaller. My wife and I were kind of caught in the middle in that as we're raising our kids, one side is, you're too tough. The other side was, you're too lenient.
Exactly.
Well, guess what? We're in the middle, so we got to be doing something right. We're getting
there. That's exactly what we need.
So, you know, we're looking for advice from others at the same time, but we also have to be willing to accept what they have to say. It doesn't mean that they're always going to be right. The Lord's going to have to lead us through all of this. But we have to.
A lot of times what happens with grandparents too, you know, and just what he's saying there is, you know, you're not raising your children the way we did. And they've got to get over that. You know, grandparents have to get over that. You know, there's times where, yes, I've told you that I've bitten my tongue, but they have learnt. You know, these younger ones, our kids have learned, you know, different aspects, and I want to see how they handle things. So, you know, it's not the way that I did it, but, you know, sometimes I've seen where their way was a lot better than my way would have been, you know. So, you know, as a grandparent, you've got to let it go. Let them bring their children up the way they want to bring them up, you know, and just sit back and watch. That's what I feel that a grandparent should do. And yes, I understand that some of you have parents that just can't keep their nose out of it. And they need to. It's something that they need to learn, but they don't do that. Go ahead. Pastor.
I apologize for not understanding the question. I think we need to, as was expressed, you know, we're looking for ideas, so we need to be open and receptive to criticism, but understand not all criticism is constructive. And so we need to have the discernment to understand what's useful and then how to do deal with that which is not, and especially when it's a family member, just to know that. Thank you. But then there may come a point where you've got to be more firm about it and say, look, we're doing the best that we can, the best that we understand from what God is directing us and from the input of others, but please try to be understanding of us as well. And so like you said, maybe try to establish those boundaries if they're being breached consistently. I mean, in any position, whether a parent or a pastor or a manager of a baseball team, criticism is going to be part of it. And yeah, sometimes we make mistakes in all of these areas. But it's I who am accountable to God for what He has called me to do, or you as a parent. And ultimately, the decision lies with you. You work it out with Him, and then you've got to rest in that.
Don't feel that you've got to be the perfect parent. You're not going to be the perfect parent. We all made mistakes. All of us. There isn't a one that's perfect. You all make mistakes. You try and you try and you try. You know, and like I say, though, just be consistent about it. Keep trying. All right. If there's nothing else here, let's go on here. As we're getting to know the heart of this problem, what must you do in correction and discipline? First of all, you must require proper behavior. God demands it. God demands that. That's in His Word. Second of all, you must understand how His straying heart has resulted in wrong behavior. How did His heart defect to produce this behavior? You see, that's just it. We don't sit back and think about this. Everybody is so busy. You know, you're busy at home taking care of your children, you know, and you just don't have the time. You correct them, you get them to the right behavior. But how did his heart go astray? How did this happen? What took place there? You know, you have to think about these things. In what characteristic ways has his inhabitation refused to know, trust, and obey God resulted in actions and speech that are wrong? You know, things that are wrong. These things that are wrong. Let's take a familiar example in a family. Okay? Here's where it comes in. All right? Your question last week. What was your question last week? Do you remember it?
About retaliation.
Okay. Here's an example that you have this in any home. You have two or more children, okay? The children are playing. Two children are playing. And a fight breaks out. You're not there. You're not there a lot of times, are you? You're not there, you know. Things happen, you know. I just saw it the other day, just yesterday. grandchildren, you know, they're playing. A fight breaks out. Over a particular toy. Did you ever see this happen? a stupid toy, you know. We have to have this toy, you know. But what's your first response when you come to them children? What do you say? What do you say? good ones. But a lot of times you'll say, who had it first?
Right.
Who had the toy first? That's what you're trying to find out. You know, you're trying to find out. This response misses the heart issue. So it does, you see. But that's the way we are. That's what we do, you know. Who had it first is an issue of justice. You know, you want justice to be served. But justice operates in the favor of the child who was quicker on the draw. So it does. Quicker on the draw in getting the toy to begin with. You know, that's the one there, you know, that it goes to. And if we look at this situation in terms of the heart, the issues change. You have now you have two offenders. Both children are displaying a hardness of heart. Am I correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a hardness of heart toward the other. And both are being selfish. So there, you know, heart issues, selfish, you know, need to change. That needs to change. Both are saying, I don't care about your happiness. I'm only concerned about my happiness. I have it, and be happy regardless of what that means to you. That's what they're saying to each other. In terms of the issues of this, the issues of the heart, you have two sinning children. Two are preferring themselves before the other. Two are breaking God's law. Sure, the circumstances are different. One is taking the toy, and the other one that has it is keeping the advantage. The circumstances are different, but the heart issue is the same. I want my happiness, even at your expense. That's what they're saying, you see. So, you know, it's a heart issue. Now, question. Here's a question that was on my questions that I've asked these ones to give me. All right? How will you answer this, you older people that's brought up children? How should we deal with sibling rivalry? Answer. What's that? could you see him saying that to his kids? Huh? Yeah, right. Uh-huh. I know better. What do you think? We're here to help these younger ones. That's the whole idea of this lesson. How would you answer that question? How should we deal with sibling rivalry? Okay, go ahead.
With Luke and Matthias, we couldn't do any physical discipline, but making them hug each other, that was worse, I think.
Oh, yeah?
I think there are things that you can do psychologically to make them realize that.
Make them hold each other, make them separate until the time went off.
So I think there are ways to make them understand that.
Okay, so for these people that haven't been here, they had two foster children that you're not allowed to touch, period. Okay, so they had to think of different ways to discipline. You just heard one there. Make them. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could see that. Here at church, we could see that. So, you know, definitely. You were doing something right. There's no doubt about it. Okay, along with this question, okay, here's another question that was written down that goes along right along with these lines. How do you teach kids to be truthful? There's two questions. Go ahead.
Well, you have to deal with a lie. And based on God's word and principles, that's one of the Ten Commandments per se, you know, thou shalt not lie. But the other thing is to let them know, if you're lying to me, I cannot help you. That's like an example. If you say your foot's hurt when it's your hand, and I'm tending to your foot, you're still going to be hurting.
Because mm-hmm.
you're telling me one thing and I'm trying to correct in a different aspect, because if you look at what God says in Revelation 21:8, where all liars end up, that's not what I'm wanting for your life. Is I'm trying to teach you, first of all, you need to train them to self-discipline themselves. And then you're right away lying. There's no way I can help you when you're lying. And it's just based on God's word and principles, and you have to instill with them from day one, saturate them with the word of God and teach them those things, and to be consistent in that teaching.
See, that's what we started off with. Remember, I told you, it's got to be God's word, period, to help them out. You've got to, just like he said there, you've got to saturate them with God's word. Okay? And you got to bring them back to God's word. That's a good one. I never thought about that one in Revelation, but that is a good one.
So sometimes doing things too will bring them back.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw your hand, I believe.
Yeah, I talked to this one, this older Amish gentleman. He said that I was asking questions about him raising his kids, and he said his oldest son told him that one thing that helped him was that he taught him to have a fear of the Lord at a young age. And his son said that helped him not to stray, because he feared the sin. And I know we were having an issue with the kids. They were lying about something, but they were doing it in a joking way, teasing the other kids. And I told them, because it's not a joke. Sin is never seen as funny or a joke. So I gave the example of Ananias when, you know, the money and, mm-hmm. you know, you may think it's funny, but if you get in the habit of lying, there are consequences for it. And I could tell it was kind of sinking in. I haven't heard the child lie since. It's only been a couple days. But, you know, you have to be careful sometimes, because it may seem like an innocent thing, but you don't know how God's going to correct you for it. There are two people right there. They drop down dead. And so I think, you know, I don't know how much of the fear we're supposed to, like, I don't know if you're supposed to scare your kids to death with things in the Bible, but that's something he was saying, and I don't know.
Well, it'll give them something to think about, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Now, just, you know, as Devin said, her point, how I view the Psalms, you know, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He's the perfect parent. And he doesn't make any mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He knows.
Right. I got to stop there. I'm going to pick this up next week. I didn't answer the whole thing here yet, so sorry it's taking so long, but it's going to come out. So, all right, well, we're going to stop right there. I think that was good questions and comments and everything else there. So let's pray. Father, we thank you now for this time. We thank you for the day now that you've given to us. And we just ask now, Lord, that you would just help us to understand more of your word and more of bringing our children up the way that you want us to bring them up, Lord, and that it's your word, Lord, that will sink deep into their hearts and change their hearts. Father, it's your word that changes us. Lord, we got saved And Father, we needed changed, and it was through your word and through the preaching of your word and the hearing of your word how we changed. And Lord, we need to keep that same aspect with our children, Father, also, as letting them hear your word and teach them your word. So we just ask that we would just continue to do the right things here, Father, with raising children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.